Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Morning.
You all right?
I hope you are. Another day, another dollar. Okay, it has just ticked past 8 in the a.m. Greenwich Mean Time on Wednesday, the 4th of March, in the year of our Lord, 2026. As always, I am joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning. Yeah, I'm good.
Great. And you are the glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Thank you for joining me. Without you, it really isn't a thing. Just to let you know, a couple of technical hitches this morning. It's possible the Bow Show wouldn't even happen this morning. There's problems with the PC yesterday, one of the big main producer PCs out there. I don't know anything about technical things. I'm quite a boomer when it comes to technical stuff. But we've got it sorted, but I haven't got all my screens like normal. I'm relying on my actual mobile phone for the time and things. So I'll be reading the super chats off of these big screens, not my little screen here. Stuff. So a bit different today. Okay. That little bit of housekeeping aside, let's just jump straight into it. What's going on this morning? Well, it's multiple Iran, as you can imagine. I'll try and talk about a few other stories that aren't Iran, where they crop up. I'll tell you who wins most out of all this. Andy and Mandy. Can you imagine in the Andy and Mandy camp? They're like, whew, thanks, Mr. Trump. Thanks, Bibby. I owe you one. Got me off the hook. They wouldn't shut up about it, and now no one cares, apparently. Well, if you believe Fleet Street. All right, what is Fleet Street? The front papers. The front pages of the papers. What are they talking about? All right. Trump mocks Starmer. Trump talked in the Oval yesterday. The German Chancellor was there. And obviously no one really cares, and particularly American reporters don't really care what Merz has got to say about anything, really, do they? So it's just a chance to grill Trump a bit. And, he threw shade at Starmer. It's quite funny. He said he'd cut off all trade with Spain because Spain aren't on board. I doubt he'd do that. I wonder if he'll actually do that. I doubt it. He said he would. Okay, Trump mocks Starmer and Middle East energy shock for markets. Again, not really. Well, we'll get into it actually. I mean, it's in Asia, some of the Asian markets, equity markets in Asia, some of them have been quite hard hit now. But as for the actual price of crude, we'll talk about it more, but yeah, not so much. They're exaggerating, basically. Although you may find, even quite quickly, that it actually does cost more to buy some petrol at the petrol station, even though, in Britain, I mean, and even though in Britain we never really got hardly any crude, certainly not refined petrol or anything, from Iran, not much anyway. Well, global markets are all interlinked. It is a complicated thing. All right, let's have a look then. The Telegraph, the Daily Telegraph. Starmer is no Churchill. All right, let's just jump straight into this. So there's Chancellor Merz there, the leader of Germany, and Trump, and they had a little meeting there. It's funny, actually, because the things that Trump was complaining about Keir Starmer for, and Spain, just to let you know, Spain are completely not on board. Most countries, one way or another, are either entirely on board. Countries like New Zealand and Australia are, like, completely on board. Loads of countries are on board, like, cheering Israel and the US on. A lot of countries are sort of mere, a bit like Britain. And a few, very few, are just like, no, don't want anything to do with it, completely disagree with it. Well, Spain is one of those, of all places. Spain's, the current government of Spain, anyway, is pacifist isn't the word, but they're just not. They were one of the countries when Trump was trying to get European countries to increase their NATO spending from 2 or 3% up to 5%. Spain was the one main country, really, that just refused, just said, no, you can put all the pressure on us you want, Mr. Trump. We're not spending any more money on NATO. How do you like us now? And in this Iran thing, they're like, no, you can't use our bases. America doesn't need Spanish air bases, does it? To fight a war in the Gulf region. It doesn't need them at all. Nonetheless, it annoyed the Donald. Anyway, the point is that all the things Trump was moaning about for places like Spain and Great Britain, Mertz has actually got very, very similar position, and he just had to sort of sit there quietly, and Trump every now and again turning to him saying, oh, but Germany's cool, Germany's great, this guy next to me is like way better than Angela Merkel used to be. But the reality is his position is quite similar, or very similar. In fact, it was in the Russian news. Let's just quickly have a look at the Russian news. Where is it? 1 second here. Okay. There, in the Russian news, if I scroll down a bit. Yeah, look. Mertz doubts strikes on Iran may bring about political change in Tehran. That's the same position as Starmer, right? But he had to just sort of sit there quietly while Trump has a pop at Starmer when he actually thinks the same thing. Apparently, directly after that meeting, or after the cameras off in that meeting in the Oval Office, apparently, according to some insider reports, Mertz said to Trump something along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he's like, chill out on Starmer. Like, he's not that bad. It wasn't that bad. Like, I'm sure Mertz didn't say it in that tone and intonation and with that word choice, but okay. All right. So, US president attacks prime minister over lack of support for Iran war, saying he ruins relationships. It wasn't like a full-blown angry rant from Trump. But it was reasonably strong words, considering we're supposed to be the United States' closest ally. Obviously, we're not. Obviously, that's Israel, isn't it? But, you know, historically, the special relationship and all that sort of thing. What we did during the wars. Da-da-da-da-da. All right. So, Trump said stuff like, what did he say? He said, this guy, Starmer, he's no Churchill. Well, yeah, tell me about it. Later he even said, this isn't the age of Churchill. Yeah, he said he ruins relationships. He just said he's very disappointed. He goes, I'm not happy with the UK. Yeah, those other things. Again, it's one of the main stories in the British print media. But once again, in the scheme of global politics, the grand strategy of this war in the Middle East, doesn't really matter, does it? Especially seeing as Trump has ultimately got his way. Like, we are now letting them use Chagos and the base in Cyprus, which they don't need, but he has got that out of us anyway. As you see, UK fast jets are doing stuff. We shot on, the RAF shot a Iranian drone out of the sky in Jordan. We'll probably see a clip of that later. So Trump got what he wanted, ultimately, that we are doing stuff, albeit really quite limited, but the mainstream media suddenly seems to be really hawkish. It's funny, over the weekend, and even on Monday, they were like flapping around like wild geese. Oh no, oh no, Mr. Trump's doing something. Net is doing stuff. Oh no, oh no, when's it going to end? Now, a couple of days later, it's like, Starmer isn't going hard enough and strong enough on all of this. It's like, make up your mind, God. Okay. All right. Britain has been attacked and our aircraft carrier is stuck at home. Okay, so that's another thing that's in the British media at the moment. Big story all day yesterday and this morning. Is the readiness of our Navy, the Royal Navy, the once global spanning master of the seas. Yeah, that's a while ago. That was a while ago. I think it's funny when some foreign people, often Americans, but not always Americans, it could come from anywhere, they say, oh, Brits need to come to terms with the fact that they're not like hegemons of the world anymore. They're not a great power anymore. It's like, yeah, we know. Yeah, we know. That's been the case since like 1948 or something. Yeah, we're perfectly aware. Don't worry about it. We've got no delusions of grandeur. But okay, still in the scheme of things, the Royal Navy is what is probably in the top 10 most powerful navies in the world, something like that. Because most countries haven't got anything to speak of, right? Most countries, even quite big, rich countries, relatively big and rich countries, have got hardly any navy, mostly. But anyway, we've got two aircraft carriers. The Prince of Wales is sort of the main one. I think that's a picture of the Prince of Wales there. We've got two aircraft carriers. And the point of having two aircraft carriers, why do you need two? It's to do with contingency. So that if one is ever sunk, heaven forfend, if one is ever sunk or just damaged or it's just refitting, because these sorts of ships, you need to refit them all the time, clean them of barnacles and all sorts of stuff, that you have another one as a contingency, so that any given time you've got an aircraft carrier ready to rock and roll at any given moment. That's the point of having two nuclear submarines, which we've also got, so that at any given moment we've got one out there that's ready to fire Trident missiles and rain nukes on someone. All right. Well, both our aircraft carriers are in Portsmouth. Or is it Plymouth? Anyway, both of them are in port being sort of refitted. Well, that's the whole point of having two is that that doesn't happen, that isn't the case. It's a clown show, isn't it, really? Clown show. All right. And a few people are saying, well, lots of people are saying, defence analyst type people are saying, it's like, you sort of knew this was coming, probably. I mean, even a normal person like me was saying for weeks, right? It's in the mail. America's moving aircraft carriers around. They're moving mid-air refueling aircraft around. It's something's almost certainly going to happen. And you would hope that Number 10 or the Foreign Office would actually have some inside information. Even if they weren't actually invited to the planning stage exactly, they'd still have some sort of inside skinny on what was going to go down. And so maybe not have both the aircraft carriers just sitting there, or speed up the refitting of one of them as quickly as possible or something, or at least move some of the other Royal Navy ships. We've got loads of other, quite a few other ships. At least move some to the region, at least some to defend Cyprus. So there's sort of nothing there. The last sort of warship we had in the waters around Cyprus was around Christmas time or New Year's time. So now they've decided, we'll see it in a bit, they've decided they're going to move one destroyer, was it a missile destroyer? Well, the HMS Dragon, it's called. It is like an anti-aircraft type ship, but just one, and it's not going to get there for like a week or more. It's just a bit of a lame, weak-wristed response from the MOD, the British Ministry of Defence. The equivalent of, you know. Okay. All right. Was there any other smaller stories there? Students from four countries barred. We'll talk about that in a moment. That's one of the non-Iran stories that will come up. Okay, the Times, the Venerable Times. There's a picture of Tehran with explosions going off all over the shop. Yeah, apparently the biggest waves of attacks from US and Israel are still yet to happen. Suppose it makes a bit of sense. Yesterday I said, as a strategy, that didn't make sense. What they're waiting for. Reading a bit more and thinking about it a bit more, I guess maybe what it is, I think maybe what it means is that only now have they basically taken out most of Iran's air defences, you know, like SAMs, surface-to-air missiles. So before now, they couldn't fly loads and loads and loads of fast jets deep into Iranian airspace because the fear of them being taken out by missiles. So you take out their missile capability, the surface-to-air missile capability, you take that out with your missiles first and some like stealth fast jets, right? But then once that's achieved and you've got complete air superiority in the skies above Persia, then you can fly crazy amounts of fast jet sorties. And I suppose at that point, the bombing will increase, like the precision bombing on individual buildings, individual things will increase even more. I guess that's what it is. Or America might not, and Israel might not want to send a fantastic amount of their most expensive missiles that might get shot out of the sky by Iranian anti-missile missiles. They don't want to do that yet until all the Iranian anti-missile missiles are taken out, and then... So I guess that's what it is. Yeah, expect even more heavy bombing in Iran. That's what they're saying. You've got to take them at their word. I don't think they're bluffing, are they? Like, Hegseth doesn't really bluff. Doesn't need to, does he? All right. PM is no Churchill, says Trump, as tensions rise. Yeah, significant fallout from the economy. That's another thing to mention then this morning. That yesterday was the spring statement. Rachel Reeves, Rachel Thieves, Rachel from Accounts, the silly woman that is somehow the Chancellor of the Exchequer, made a statement about the economy, the UK economy, yesterday in Parliament. No one cares. No one cares. She's a joke. And her statement's immediately out of date. Right? Anyone that really knows what they're talking about, an economist or a trader, a commodities trader or an equities trader or a bond trader, anywhere in the world, you're not listening to what Rachel Reeves has got to say. Rachel was saying, oh, in the future, later this year or in 2 years' time, then inflation will be like this and GDP growth will be like this. And everyone's like, you don't know. We don't have any faith you know what you're talking about. And why are you saying this in the middle of a war where all the chips are in the air? Like, what you're talking about, Rachel, is immediately out of date. You're a joke, a bad joke. Real economists and traders were not sitting there on tenterhooks waiting for what Rachel Reeves is going to say and then start making trades and working out analysis off the back of what she says. No. Not remotely. Okay, the eye paper. UK to hit historic higher tax burden. Well, yeah, I mean, that's real. That's true. We are taxed a crazy amount in Britain. A crazy amount. Well, that's socialism for you. That's leftist economic theory. Just tax them until there's nothing left. That's sort of their one play, really. Centralise the economy as much as humanly possible and tax the kulaks until the pips go squeak. Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay. War spreads across the Middle East as Trump rages at Starmer. US President personal dislike of PM grows. This is not Winston Churchill. Quote, this is not Winston Churchill we're dealing with. Again, yeah. Tell me about it. He's super weak. He's so weak. It's like a bit of boiled cabbage. Just nothing. Okay. I'll just read the blurb a bit because it sort of says it all. UK scrambles warship to Cyprus. I don't know if it's about scrambled. They're taking their time, aren't they? It's not really... Anyway, UK scrambles warship to Cyprus 4 days after conflict begins. It's sort of an afterthought, isn't it? It's sort of a token afterthought. Following Iran attack on RAF base and political outcry, PM under pressure from White House and Gulf states over his response so far. Again, if I was Keir Starmer, I just wouldn't bow to any of that pressure. You know, like, Dubai is annoyed we didn't move a ship quick enough to Cyprus. It's like, go away, shut up. Don't worry about it, you worry about you. Okay, petrol prices set to climb within weeks, and UK energy bills may jump by £800 a year as Tehran targets shipping and oil. And we don't get our energy from there largely, almost entirely. We buy most of that sort of thing from the United States or from places in North Africa. And then we got a bit of North Sea oil and stuff, don't we? And if Britain doesn't buy natural gas or crude much from Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, Qatar, not really. Shouldn't really affect us too much, but there you go, still. As I said earlier, there are global markets, so it does still affect. It does still affect, but if our energy bills go up even more, they're supposed to be going down. Well, they will be going down in the next couple of months because the government put in some sort of hard stops on it. So if you're a Brit watching this, hopefully your energy bill will go down to the tune of £100, maybe a bit more, over the next couple of months. But then, over the midterm, over the next like 6 months or 1 year, it may go way up beyond where it was, where it is now. So, all right. Airstrike on building being used by top clerics to choose next supreme leader. Yeah, that was interesting. Where, obviously, the Ayatollah is dead. He was martyred. They had to pick a new one. They put together a little committee. A little sort of working group, whatever you'd call it, to pick the new one. And then it'll go to sort of a larger body, a sort of a larger, it's nothing like a parliament or congress or anything, but just a larger body of the mullahs, religious leaders, clerics. I don't particularly like that word cleric, but all right, whatever. Larger body to sort of formally stamp it and pick the next Ayatollah. Well, the building that was being held in, they knew that was being held in, that got smashed by the Israelis or the US, one or the other. Yeah, it does seem like the United States and the Israelis are not mucking about. It's not like a half measure, is it? It's like they're going all out to... They're going all out. All right. Like the Iranian regime thinks it can still sort of carry on much as before. No. You'll have to go underground. You'll have to do all this stuff in underground bunkers and things. Like you're in the Blitz. If they can get you, they'll get you, it seems like, doesn't it? Alright. Lebanon dragged into war with Israel. That's the other big thing. So Israel is invading Lebanon right now. Southern Lebanon. Some reports I saw yesterday saying that the Israeli army wants to go downtown. Anyone who doesn't know, that means going all the way to Beirut, sending their army all the way to Beirut. Israel have quote-unquote invaded Lebanon, at least southern Lebanon, loads of times, loads and loads of times. Well, quite a few times anyway. It's not that new. Even in the last couple of years, they'll do incursions into Lebanese territory. It's not unheard of, not even close to being unheard of. Before now, in the past, in the last few decades, they've gone all the IDF divisions have gone all the way to Beirut, more than once, I think. So the idea that in the middle of all of this, Bibi's going to send his army all the way to Beirut. Yeah, it looks like he's going to do that, yeah. Just one more front in this now quite big war. Probably the wide, in fact, it's the widest, biggest war in the Middle East in my lifetime. Easily now. Because even the second Gulf War in 2003, it was confined largely to the deserts of Mesopotamia, Iraq. It didn't turn into a whole region-wide war, did it? So this is probably the biggest conflagration in the Middle East in modern times, basically, I would have thought. Well, I mean, in the 21st century, at least, let's say that, not in modern times. Because that would include, like, World War I and World War II. I don't mean that, obviously. Okay. All right. Yeah, Israel going into Lebanon. I think they want to take out... I think Netty wants to annihilate Hezbollah once and for all. I mean, can't really blame him from his point of view. From his point of view. They try and kill Israeli people all the time, so... I mean, just imagine an equivalent in your country. You would want to try and wipe them out if you could, right? To end them, I suppose. All right, so France sends major naval deployment to Eastern Med, including aircraft carrier. Yeah, the French have got an aircraft carrier, and they're sending it to the Eastern Mediterranean, right, off just off the coast of Israel and Lebanon, there, near Cyprus, in a way. And the idea that they're getting there before we are. Tiny bit embarrassing. Okay. Israel launches new attacks on Tehran and Hezbollah as US tells Americans to leave Middle East and closes embassies. It's not going to be over anytime soon. Do not be surprised if it's still going on beyond 5 weeks from now. Okay, the Daily Mail, pure slop, trying to pretend it's not pure slop, but you scratch the surface and it is pure slop. All right, there's our aircraft carrier, or one of them, the Prince of Wales. Completely not ready. It's been stripped down. Completely stripped down. It would take weeks, months before that's ready. A Prime Minister who Trump mocks as no Churchill and a Navy fleet stranded in port. I mean, it's not exactly stranded. It was scheduled work. But nonetheless, I take the point. Starmer takes the great out of Britain. Yeah, again, tell me about it. Nearly everything he does makes us less great. Makes us weaker. Undermines us. Pretty much everything he does, really. Not even including any of this, I mean. Right, okay. All the papers are suddenly hawkish about it. Suddenly he hasn't done enough, quick enough. On Monday, it was like, not this at all, particularly on Sunday and Monday. But now they've decided. I mean, don't look at who owns these papers and who they are and where their ultimate loyalties might lie. They got the call from the Nathaniel Rothschild. Everyone be hawkish now. All right, the Mirror. UK warship to Middle East. Enter the Dragon. Classic Bruce Lee film, Enter the Dragon, if anyone doesn't know. You ever seen Enter the Dragon, Harry?
I haven't, no.
Okay. Don't worry about it. I just feel like there's a lot of things, references in... cultural references in the world. If you're very young, like Harry's only 20 years old, you just wouldn't get. I mean, Enter the Dragons, like from the 70s. It's like 50 years old film. Nearly 40, 50 years old. But Enter the Dragon. Okay. And there it is, HMS Dragon. Look, it's got a dragon painted on it. That looks a bit like the Welsh dragon, doesn't it? Maybe it is. It must be, it is. Okay, this one warship, not even that big of a one, not that powerful. It is for, like, taking out missiles and drones, though. That is what it is. We're sending that one ship to defend all of Cyprus, or help defend it. The airbase should be able to defend itself, but there you go. That's being done. It's a complete token gesture, isn't it? Government says deployment is defensive, but fears grow over terror attack at home. PM stands up to Trump abuse as scramble on to evacuate stranded Britons. Yeah, so there's still loads of people, quote-unquote, stranded in, like, Dubai, mainly. But a few other places, right? There'll be some in Qatar and Bahrain and Kuwait or whatever. Right, the Sun wants to tell you something about Jordan, about Katie. Don't care. Pure slop. Ship happens. I said ship. Ship happens. That's actually mildly funny to me. I always take the mickey, don't I? I always cast shade at the Sun's puns. But that's not a bad one. It's pretty simplistic, but ship happens. Okay, that's all right. I'll give you that one. That made me smile when I first saw that one this morning. As Trump blasts Keir as no Churchill, PM sends one destroyer to defend RAF base. Yeah, Enter the Dragon, ship happens. All right. The Financial Times. Mid-East energy shock batters markets. Again, not really. Well, okay, in the Far East, places like South Korea, like, for example, the Thailand Stock Exchange had to close early because it was getting so battered. again, does the Thai stock exchange really matter all that much if you're not Thai? If you're not invested in Thai stocks, do you care about that? Does it matter ultimately? Like, if you don't hold shares in South Korean energy companies that have done really badly, what's it matter? So, all right. The point is that a lot of Asian markets, equities, even bonds, have tumbled quite a lot. You know, like the South Korean stock exchange, like lost, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it's something in the ballpark of lost 4 or 5 or 6% in one day yesterday. And since this started, has lost something like 12%. So pretty disastrous, I suppose. Reasonably disastrous, but not, again, not sort of end of times disastrous. Not sort of, and the other thing to say is that all these markets were all-time highs. They were overvalued anyway. Japan, South Korea, places like that. Their stock markets were sort of almost, if not all-time highs. So inflated, overvalued as it was. So some sort of market correction was going to be in the mail anyway. And as for oil, again, don't buy the hype that it's been spiked. It hasn't. Like yesterday, on average, because all sorts of crude from all different places in the world are priced differently, but on average, the price of a barrel of crude at some point nearly touched $85 a barrel and then came down a bit again. No biggie. No massive biggie. Before this thing started, the price of a barrel was just shy of $80. So it hasn't. It's been a bit volatile, a bit up and down within that window. But it hasn't just spiked to like $100, $120 suddenly or anything like that. No. LNG as well, or natural gas, again, same sort of thing. Worse, but not as bad. So before this thing started, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it'll be in this ballpark. It was like, I think something like 60 or 70 cents. And it's gone up to now something in the ballpark of $1.40 or $1.50. Right, so you could call that a spike, and it did that very quickly. Okay, we can call that a spike. Is it disastrous or anything? No. If you go back to sort of only just 2022 or something, it was at like $7 or $8. And it's now at like $1.40, $1.50. So you can talk to me all about the terrible spike in numbers and energy's gone through the roof. It just hasn't. It just hasn't. Just put it in perspective. But the Financial Times says, war-fueled equities rout spreads to sovereign bonds. Yeah, a little bit in some places in Asia. Well, see, by the way, I'm saying all this. It's not to say that it might not cause ultimately some sort of giant market crash or something. I'm just saying right now it isn't. Okay. Iraq to halt oil production as Iran threatens key route. Yeah. It looks like Iran's strategy is, isn't it, to screw with the energy production infrastructure of all the countries that are in range of its missiles. It's a bit of an all on that. Well, they are under threat of being completely annihilated, the regime. So I guess it's like the last flailing, last ditch attempt. It seems really, to me, it seems pathetic. Seems bitter, resentful. I was talking to Faraz about it the other day, and I said, how does this make sense? How is any of this in Iran's ultimate interest? It doesn't make sense. And he just said, it makes sense to them. Right? It's looking in on it from the outside. It looks mad, Iran's strategy of doing that. It looks like surely counterproductive. So you're making bitter enemies of everyone around you now. And they will just side with Israel and Iran now. How does that makes sense? And he just says it makes sense to them. What else can you say? I said it feels like someone has been jilted by a beautiful woman, so they throw acid in her face. Like, you rejected me, so I'll make sure everyone rejects you forever. Just pure vindictive bitterness. Nothing more than that. It seems to me, I mean, maybe it'll work for them. Maybe Iran's strategy of trying to destroy all their neighbours' energy infrastructure will work for them, ultimately. I don't think it will. Especially if the United States and Israel have got the political will to see it through to the end, whatever that means. Which it seems like they have. Seems like the Donald and Netty are prepared to see it through come what may. Doesn't it? It feels like that. It seems like that. Okay. Because that's the thing when anyone fights the United States, anyone. They're like, we just need to hold out long enough until there's enough US casualties and America, the sentiment at home will be such that the president or the Congress or whoever will be forced to stop. It's like, yeah, that's hardly ever worked. Like in Vietnam, 10 years of Vietnam, eventually, right, 50,000 combat deaths, 60,000 combat deaths, and then presidents start getting cold feet. And, like, the general population of the United States start constantly rallying against the war. But it will take something like that. Like, 5 or 6 deaths. Nothing. A few hundred, even a few thousand deaths for US service people. That doesn't make the United States get cold feet and just stop, usually, does it? It didn't in Afghanistan and Iraq. So if Iran's strategies hopefully will take out a few US service people and then Trump will bottle it and stop. I don't think so. I don't see that. Okay. In fact, Trump, the other day, Trump was asked about that. They said, some reporter said, some people are worried, even really, really anti-regime people in Iran, saying they're worried that you'll just get bored or something. You'll get bored of it and you'll just stop and leave it. You won't have the longevity, you won't have the will to keep going. And he just completely brushed that aside. He said, I don't get bored. I won't get bored. Don't worry about it. Okay. US closes embassies after strikes escalate across the region. Israel launches new wave of attacks on Tehran assets. Right, okay. The Guardian. The Guardian. US and Israel intensify Iran attacks as conflict widens. There we go. Too late for talks, says Trump, as reports claim death toll close to 800 in Iran. Yeah, people asked about the talks. Remember? Kushner and Witkoff talking with the Iranians in Geneva with the Omanis. Supposed to be overseeing that. Well, Trump just said before already, but he reiterated that those talks were nonsense. Iran never, as far as Trump was concerned, Trump's calculation was Iran were never serious in those talks. They were never serious about it. It was going to go nowhere. That's all Iran has done for decades, is say they're going to talk, just keep talking, agree to things and then not even do the things, you know, like that deal Obama did. We'll spend years coming to an agreement, finally make an agreement, and then not actually do the thing anyway. Just keep talking and talking and talking. And it just, Trump had enough, obviously. Had decided they were just, the whole thing was a sham. Which is interesting, because the Iranians accused the Americans of doing that. Oh, you attacked us in the middle of peace talks. It was all a sham. You only put, both sides say that the other side use peace talks as a sham and aren't serious about peace talks. Both sides accuse the other of that. Well, okay. Is what it is. Trump says Starmer, no Churchill. All right, yeah. The Metro, oh my God. Okay. The Metro, gross. School tragedy fear as conflict grows. Trump too late to talk. Yeah, because other people said, oh, Trump might sit down and do peace with the Iranians, and that will scupper everything. And he just said, no, it came out the other day, yesterday, saying, no, there's no more time for talks. That ship has sailed. We've done that. We've tried that. No, we're going full bore. Okay, this is a story, if anyone that watches the news will know. I haven't really talked about it on the Bo Show yet, have I? That right at the very beginning, on Saturday morning, in fact, there was reports that some sort of missile or some sort of strike hit a school, a girls' school. Apparently, kids go to school on Saturdays in Iran. Who knew? But okay, apparently there was this school, little girls' school, and it got hit, and loads of the kids and teachers were killed, apparently. Like 150, 160 odd, mostly kids, were killed in that, apparently. And right in the south of Iran, apparently right near or right next to some sort of naval base, but whatever. Okay, now Iran, and this is their mass funeral now. There's like a mass funeral. There's loads and loads of coffins on that lorry for little kids, apparently. Thing is about this, of course the Iranians accused Israel of doing that. And Israel said, we weren't firing anything near there. Maybe it was the Americans. And the Americans were like, no, we weren't firing anything near there either. And as if we, at least, the Americans, would do that. We would, like Rubio said, we wouldn't dream of deliberately targeting a little girl's school. Why would we? I mean, it's always possible that something goes wrong, something goes awry, or they just did do it and they're lying about it. Anyway, as it stands, both Israel and the United States are both saying, look, we just simply didn't do it. Whatever happened there, it wasn't us. That's what they're saying, whether you can believe it or not. One or two reports I've seen saying that it was an Iranian thing that went wrong somehow. But now they're using it as a political tool to say, look how evil Israel and the United States are. I mean, whatever it is, whatever happened there, I don't know. It's not clear. Both sides are claiming the other one did it. And I don't know if we'll ever know, if we'll find out exactly. I hope we do, one way or another, what happened there. But okay, that's a big thing. Relatively big thing, right? It's the single biggest mass casualty event of the war so far. That seems a bit odd to me. It happened right at the beginning on Saturday morning. You know, if it were to be an Iranian false flag type thing, they did it sort of immediately. The timing of it is a little bit suspicious, but I don't know. I wouldn't take Israel or the Pentagon at their word on anything. I'm not, you know, that, why would you? They're capable of lying about almost anything. But though, having said that, it doesn't seem likely that I don't know. It's an odd thing. This girls' school that was hit. The arguments that Israel and the United States are using to say it wasn't us are plausible. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I wouldn't take them at their word, but their argument is plausible at least. All right, okay. Trump says everything is knocked out in Iran. Everything's knocked out, and like their air defences sort of thing. And he boasts that the war on Iran sparks a bitter new rift with Britain. Okay, yeah. Okay, the Star. Panic at the pumps. I mean, not really, but maybe. Middle East crisis, panic at the pumps, forecourts chaos as war sees fuel prices surge. They haven't really surged exactly. I think they have gone up at the pump, but not massively. I always find it really disappointing in the human character when there's a tiniest little panic about something and really, really selfish people just either go to petrol garages and fill up, take loads of jerry cans and fill them up. Or do you remember in the COVID thing, some people would go to grocery stores, or go to like Tesco's or Sainsbury's and buy all the toilet paper. So there was a tiny fear, the tiniest of fears, that there might be a shortage of toilet paper or there'll be a break in the chain of of getting more in, so they just buy it all. How selfish could you get? It's so selfish, isn't it? I remember it in 2003. Was it 2003 or was it even after 9/11? Similar things happened. I remember that quite clearly. People queuing, the roads leading to petrol stations just completely blocked with cars queuing to go into a petrol station to fill up and fill up their little jerry cans, because like something like the Sun or the Star would say, oh, there's panic. People are panic buying petrol. And so that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. People that read that, idiots, selfish idiots that see that and read that are like, oh, well, I don't want to run out of petrol. I'll go down and do that. Panic at the pumps. All right, if you say so, the Star. If you say so, sure. All right, The Express, The Daily Express. Oh, it's a good paper. 1 million more will pay tax on state pensions. They're running our economy into the ground. Running our economy into the ground. All right, those are the papers. Did we have a poll this morning?
We didn't.
Oh, we failed to have a poll. Sorry. Sorry about that, people. Waiting for a poll. Yeah, it was a bit... There were some technical issues this morning. All sorts of technical issues. Two or three different ones, basically. So me and Harry didn't have time to just sort of set up a poll. Apologies. Try and do it most days. But today we've failed. All right. All right, let's have a look at the newspapers then. Oh, it's already nearly quarter two. Okay. What have we got? Strikes across Middle East continue as UK charters evacuation flights for British nationals in Oman. If you can get down to the to Oman, you might be able to get a flight out. All right, so here's a thing. Here's a story that's not about Iran. Mahmoud, the Home Secretary, to stop study visas from four countries due to abuse. It's a bit late, isn't it? We've already been invaded by hundreds of thousands of foreign barbarians. But okay, I mean, I'll take it. But it's a bit late, isn't it? It's like closing the gate half a foot more, but still leaving it open after the horses have bolted. Thanks. The story is from Afghanistan, Cameroon, Myanmar, Burma, and the Sudan. If you came over on a student visa, apparently loads of people from those, particularly those four countries, they come over on a student visa, and then when they're here, say, actually, I'm not just a student, I'm a refugee, and I need to claim permanent residence here. I'm actually claiming asylum now. I was just a student from Burma, but now from the Sudan, but now I'm a refugee and I've got to be able to stay. And even the Labour Home Secretary is like, it's being abused. The system is being heavily abused. The government is clamping down on visa abuse so the UK can maintain its ability and proud tradition of helping those genuinely in need. More safe and legal routes. Right. Yeah, so just loads and loads of people from the, particularly those countries, absolutely take the mickey out of our student visa scheme. Student visa scheme that Olukemi Badenoch gloated about widening a few years ago. Incidentally. All right. There was a thing, there was something on the Mail I thought was interesting. Marked for death, Israel vows to assassinate Iran's new leader. Yeah. Yeah. Dubai under assault again. Here's a picture of Dubai. Andrew Tate says nothing's going on there. You don't understand reality properly if you think there is. Call him in 2 days' time. It's been 2 days. All right. CIA station hit by Tehran's new leader. Khomeini's son reigns. Wait a minute. CIA station hit as Tehran's new leader, Khomeini's son. Oh, it's his son. Oh, okay. Rains missiles and drones on Middle East. It's actually Ali Khomeini's son. I did hear tell immediately on Saturday, immediately after the assassination, that people started banding names around right away who might be the next one. I did hear his name come up, but most people, analysts at the weekend anyway, said, yeah, he's in the running. He could well be in the running, but probably won't be him. Well, it is then. Okay. But he's already marked for death. Yeah, this I thought was mildly interesting. Who hates who in the Middle East? As a former British NATO commander warns we are on the brink of World War III. Not really World War III. I feel like unless nuclear powers go at each other and there's an exchange of nuclear warheads, it's not World War III. Okay. The definitive guide to who is backing Trump and who is on the side of the mullahs. This was just quite interesting. I didn't even agree with a lot of the things. Like saying Turkey and in Iraq are on some way pro-Iran. And there might be more pro-Iran than Saudi Arabia, but I wouldn't call them exactly pro-Iran. I mean, Iraq, by dint of being infiltrated and subverted by Iran over the last 20 years, 15 years. Okay, but anyway, it's interesting nonetheless. If you don't know much about the region, that was mildly interesting thing. Okay. Yeah, World War III. Russia have said a number of times they're not going to get involved. They're not going to get involved. They're not going to try and stop Israel and Iran and the United States from doing what they're going to do. China, even less so. I mean, let's have a quick look. Just jump ahead quickly to the Chinese news agency. Nothing. Nothing. It's Wednesday. I've looked on the last couple on Tuesday and Monday as well. Nothing. They're not talking about it at all. Eventually, if you scroll down, eventually, a sweet little Chinese kid. Everything's brilliant in China. We're the best and everything's brilliant. Eventually, there's something about Iran. What you need to know about the repercussions. But the main news in China, and yesterday and Monday, just nothing. Just still talking about how brilliant Xi is. It's Xi time. Xi-conomics. We're brilliant. Everything's going on is brilliant. Everything we do and touch is gold. The Chinese. Nothing about Iran. They won't help Iran. You won't see Chinese fast jets in dogfights with F-35s above the skies of Persia. They're on their own. Iran are on their own. They've isolated themselves massively since 1979, basically. All right, Andrew. Finally, a little bit of Andrew creeping back into the news. Finally. Okay, where was it where we saw the bit of footage of... There's one bit of footage where it shows the RAF shooting a drone out of the sky. I think it might be on the Mail. It was like the Mail or the Express, I thought I saw it. Oh, there it is. Look, watch that. That's an Iranian drone. Bang! It's a drone. It's going like 120, 150 mile an hour. And we shoot a supersonic missile at it. I mean, the missile we fired at it. This is above the skies of Jordan. Boom. The missile we shot, it cost like 10 times the amount that thing cost. There you go. The fear that Iran... It might still happen. But the fear that Iran has got, like... could send thousands of drones at a time in mass waves that will get through any air defence. It just hasn't materialised yet, has it? Could still happen. Like the USS Abraham Lincoln that's sitting somewhere in the Gulf of Oman. Well, it hasn't been hit by a hypersonic Mach 5 medium-range ballistic missile. It just hasn't happened yet, has it? Or that they would send hundreds, or they'd send 2,000 of those drones. The ones we just saw, the ones that go 150 mile an hour. And an aircraft carrier's got loads and loads of defences against that. Loads and loads of different things. All sorts of different measures to prevent something like that getting through. But if you sent 1,000 at a time, or 2,000 of them, some would get through. Despite the close-in weapon systems, despite those giant phalanx guns, despite all the anti-missile missiles, despite the various rings of defence around an aircraft carrier. If you send enough of those drones, even the slow ones, some would get through. Well, it hasn't happened yet, has it? Are Iran just biding their time, waiting for that to happen? Or was it always a bit of a fiction? Iran just lying about their capabilities. I thought they were going to unleash hell on the USS Abraham Lincoln. Waiting. Most people on Twitter over the previous months, when occasionally I'll talk about these sorts of things, like how powerful an aircraft carrier group is, they'll say things like, yeah, right, they're a thing of the past. They're so fragile and so open to attack. Iran will be able to sink it easily or something. It's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. I mean, I might be proven wrong. What everything I've just said there, that take in a day or two or in a week or two might prove to be terribly misguided. The Abraham Lincoln is now at the bottom of the Gulf of Oman. I doubt it. Maybe, though. If Iran are going to do something like that, a mass waves of drones or multiple hypersonic precision-guided missiles, not seeing it yet. All right. Well, we're near the top of the hour already. All right, should we have a look on this day in history? Just a quick 5 minutes. Quick 5 minutes of that. What have we got? Okay, on this day, the 4th of March, throughout the centuries, what went down? Okay, on this day in 1238, the Battle of the Sitch River. Mongol forces of Batu Khan overcome Russians under Yuri II. Ending Russian resistance. So Batu Khan, one of my absolute favourites. He was the son of Jochi, the House of Jochi. He was one of Genghis Khan's sons. So Batu Khan is one of Genghis Khan's grandsons. And he was just a total badass. Invades Russia successfully from the east. Very, very few people have sort of invaded Russia and won. It's one of the old classic blunders, isn't it? Starting a land war in Asia. Batu Khan, successful. The Golden Horde. The history of the Mongols is absolutely incredible. The generation or three, starting with Genghis Khan and ending with his grandchildren, basically, or Kublai Khan and stuff. Absolutely fascinating. Look into it. I've threatened to do all sorts of long-form content about it in the past, over the last 5 years. I haven't yet, but I will do. Incredible story. Batu Khan is one of the all-time greats. All right. On this day, it's often been an inauguration day throughout history, the 4th. So on this day in 1801, Thomas Jefferson is the first US president to be inaugurated in Washington, D.C. Because Washington, D.C. was built out of nothing. Built out of swamps. There was no city there at all. The United States decided they were going to build a new city from scratch, really. And John Adams was the first president to even move into the White House when it wasn't even quite finished. Thomas Jefferson was the first one to actually be inaugurated in D.C. All right, on this day in 1861, Abraham Lincoln is inaugurated for the first time, as the 16th president. In 1902, American Automobile Association is founded in Chicago. Not as interesting. On this day, 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt is inaugurated, again for the first time, as the 32nd president. Pledges to pull the US out of the Depression, stating in his inaugural address that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Yeah, classic line, isn't it? Famous words. Yeah, there's no need to be worried too much. It's a classic thing, isn't it, of confidence. Not just an individual level, but on a national level. Okay, on this day in 2009, International Criminal Court issues an arrest warrant for Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir for war crimes and crimes against humanity in Darfur, becoming the first sitting head of state to be indicted. Yeah, if you believe those indictments, he's a psycho. All right, Should we have a look at the... Oh, we weren't even... Okay, there's no Rumble rants because we weren't even on Rumble today. We had some technical issues, as I keep saying. So there's no Rumble rants. Now we've got... is that today's poll?
Yeah, we have a poll. Now. People said that there was no poll.
Okay. So my screen down here isn't working, so I have to read it off the big screens. And we did do a poll only 9 minutes ago, but Harry put, will there be World War III? And your options was, yes, bring on the nukes, or no, nothing ever happens. And no, nothing ever happens is winning by 81% to 19% with just over 500 votes. Sorry, the question was, will this be World War III? And I said, no, it's not World War III, is it? I mean, I think the nothing ever happens paradigm is nonsense, but this isn't World War III. Can we have something between it's World War III and nothing ever happens? Anyway, if your options were simply yes or no, I'd say no. And as the votes are ticking in, 81% of you agree with that. So, cool. All right. All right, so we weren't even on Rumble today, unfortunately. We will be going forward again, but today we weren't, so it's only YouTube. So it's only the YouTube Super Chats today. So I'll quickly read through these. What have we got? Global Church History says, today in 1665, Charles II declares Second Anglo-Dutch War. All right, interesting. On epochs. I've got long-form content all about the three Anglo-Dutch Wars. Or is it four? God, it's been 2 or 3 years since I did that bit of content. It is in good detail. There's at least three. At least three. The first ones were under Oliver Cromwell, weren't they? It was a real ding-dong back and forth. Sometimes we'd beat them, sometimes they'd beat us. One time the Dutch Navy sailed up the Thames and destroyed Deptford, was it? Catford or Deptford? There was a big, our main shipbuilding yard. They sailed up the Thames and destroyed it. Cheeky. That's well cheeky. We do that to you. You don't do that to us. Sometimes we'd win, sometimes they'd win. It's an interesting, cool war. Okay, set of wars. Okay. Dem Tatties says, hi, Bo, what do you think about the Advance UK found joining Restore? What do you think about the Advance UK found joining Restore? Do you think that the King should just dissolve Parliament to do it himself? Our King Charles III has not got any, hasn't got the backbone to do anything like that, so that's off the table. He's a silly old sausage fingered nothing of a man, King Charles. Friends with Jimmy Savile type person. He's not going to dissolve anything. Okay, and what do I think of Advance UK found joining Restore? I just think Advance UK is a failed project. It's worth about 150 votes. So it's failed. It's effectively dead, or it was stillborn, really. We're going to be painfully honest about it. Ben Habib is not the guy. So I think it should just, if that's what you're saying, that it should, about it joining Restore, it should just join Restore. Of course, it's just fold itself into Restore. That result, and I like Nick Buckley, the Advance UK candidate in Gorton Dentor. I like the guy. I think he's a good bloke. I feel sorry for him. But that result was a brutal defeat. Brutal. They got less votes than the Raving Monster Luna Party. Brutal. Pure liquid fail for Advance. They're not really anything, are they? So they should join Restore. Stop talking about CivNat colourblind nonsense. Okay. Reverend Norse says, this date in 1917 was the first debate in the Swedish Parliament was held, starting the process that would lead to us adopting universal suffrage years later. Oh, I guess I take it you're calling, typing from Sweden. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. Yeah, universal suffrage in the early 20th century across most of Europe. Opening Doors 1 says, could Starmer be related to Wurzel Gummidge? Again, another reference I'm sure you wouldn't get, Harry. A lot of people that aren't British and old enough just wouldn't. Like, who's Wurzel Gummidge? It was a TV character that was like a scarecrow. It was like this battered old haggard scarecrow that came to life.
This might be like insane, but I've seen Wurzel Gummidge.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
But of all things, Wurzel Gummidge. I mean, it's very nearly before my time. Wurzel Gummidge was on TV when I was a little kid, really little kid. I remember it a few times when I was small, really small, watching Wurzel Gummidge. But okay, could Starmer be related to him? Funny. All right. Luke Stewart says, good day. Maybe the media just found out how horrible the IR is. IR? Oh, Islamic Republic, is it? How horrible Iran is to its women, especially with the grape girls, so they don't go to heaven on death row. Okay, I think I get what you're saying. And yeah. Yeah, the media just suddenly go, oh, actually, yeah. I mean, Iran was a crazy society. Horrible, horrible society. Okay. Max Robe says, and he put it in quotes, what about that quote you attributed to him? I don't like it, but I'll have to go along with it. In German, how did he say it? Ich nicken lichen. I'm sorry, Max. I don't quite get... that's a bit garbled to me. What about that quote you attributed to him? I don't like it, but I'll have to go along with it. In German, how did they say it? I mean, what you say? Sorry, be a bit more clear. Sorry. I think I get what you're saying. How did they say it? I don't like it, but I have to go along with it. I guess that's the key point you're saying, isn't it? Yeah, okay. I mean, that's how I feel about this entire war with Persia. I don't like it. It could well quite possibly end in a generation of sectarian bloodbaths, just like Iraq. But I guess I'll go along with it. Because fingers crossed it won't, and leaving that insane regime in place isn't a good idea either. So I don't like it, but I'll go along with it. It's a horrible situation to be in, isn't it? It's a horrible situation to be in. Okay, Luke Stewart says, Bo, about the school scene photos, hopefully real, it looks like the missile had flipped over and crashed. This whole thing seems like a cluster. Yeah, I guess you're talking about that school in southern Iran where 150, 160 odd schoolgirls are dead, apparently. It says a missile had flipped over and crashed. Yeah, I mean, whose missile? Yeah, it seems like a mistake either way, doesn't it? Unless it's extremely cynical from the Iranians to do it to themselves. But that doesn't seem all that likely either, does it? Just in the scheme, not knowing one way or another, you only have to go with what seems more likely, more or less likely. But okay, if it was a missile that flipped over and crashed, I don't know. All right, and the last one for today, principled uncertainty says, get Harry a cornetto on me for the late poll. Okay,
thank you.
Harry says thank you. No, thank you for that cornetto. Do you want anything from the shop? Cornetto. Anyone who doesn't know, this might be foreign, it's an ice cream. Alright. We did do a poll, better late than never, slightly, I suppose. Going forward tomorrow, hopefully we'll have all the technical issues sorted out. I'll have my screen back and everything. We'll be on Rumble again and we'll have a poll in time and everything else. So, alright, it has just ticked past 8 minutes past 9 in the AM, Greenwich Mean Time, on Wednesday the 4th of March in the year of our Lord 2026. You have been the glorious band, the chosen few. Thank you for watching. Try and make the best of the day ahead if you can. Carpe diem, seize the day if you can. I know it's not always possible, but try and do something that matters. Try and do something of value, if possible. All right, then. Until tomorrow morning, take care.